Good morning. Today is Wednesday, September the 30th, 270th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor and the guy that knows how to go vroom vroom in his car, Mark Lovelace.
I didn't know that was
defining
quality.
It's your shining quality. What are you talking about?
Shining? You haven't seen my car.
Yeah.
It's not shining.
Oh, our quote this morning comes from Cicero. Sometime between 106 BC and 43 BC, said, quote, "If you aspire to the highest place, it's no disgrace to stop at the second or even third place." That's kind of cool. You know what's mind-blowing? There are people who knew Cicero and who knew Jesus. I still have a tough time wrapping my head around some of that kind of stuff. So what's new in the neighborhood?
Well, last week we had a presentation from a consulting firm that we'd hired to look at organizational issues with our Department of Health and Human Services. And yeah, that was driven largely by the fact that our current director, Phil Crandall, who's been with that department since it was consolidated years ago, is retiring at the end of this year. And so we'd hired a consulting firm to look at how the integration of the department was working, how the administration was working, whether there were organizational changes that needed to be made, and help inform us for the hiring process and create kind of a blueprint for Phil's successor for the work that's going to need to be done.
I just written down, how do you define successor is close enough to success that I was bridging there. How do you define success for that department? I mean, they're certainly each silo is going to be treated mm-hmm. differently because they have different functions. But how do you define success? How do you know that a department is working? Is there black and white standard measurements that you can look to? I know typically everybody says, they're doing so good. Look at all the grant money they have.
Well, that's
it's probably part of it, but that's not an outcome reference.
And that's one of the things that was interesting going through this really thorough report that this firm, Wendy Brown Creative Consultants, put together for us, is looking at all the different measures of success. But in terms of grant funding, which the department is very good at accessing funds when they become available for certain kinds of programs, for this, for that, and being able to apply them well. But money's a tool. The biggest difference between the public sector and the private sector is in the private sector, profit is the measure of success. And in government, money is a tool for achieving other goals. And so all the money in the world, doesn't necessarily mean that you're accomplishing those things. So there are a number of places where, we could see we're successful in this regard, but maybe not so successful in that regard. And of course, with such a huge department, DHHS is a solid half of the county in terms of its employees and budget. There's a lot of different programs, a lot of divisions within the department. And so there are a lot of different measures there. There are some programs, some branches that are operating really well, some that could maybe use a little help. And while the study helped to bring up some things that some things that I think we could have known going in, it also provided some information on some issues that were new to us.
KINS News and Information Times 819. We'll be back with more from Mark Lovelace.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mark Lovelace. Mark, one of the challenges I would think with DHHS or, you know, whatever the reference points that you have for a department that has as broad a scope as they do, is to make the determination, just the real basic one, does it make sense to have it together? Or should county mental health be broken out again? Should welfare, or whatever it's called now, be broken out separately? Because their functions, while there's a lot of commonality in the individuals, perhaps, their functions are completely different, and the types of people you're looking for are completely different. Wanting to work together, but different. Is the county wrestling with that real base first step before getting into some of the other stuff?
That's one of the fundamental things that this analysis was to look at, is the integration of the department working well? In the past, some 15 years ago, the department, there were multiple departments. There was a Department of Public Health, there was a Department of Environmental Health, Department of Mental Health, Social Services, and Employment Training Division. And
I didn't realize EDD was underneath the scope.
Yeah, Employment Development Division, excuse me. Huh. And Phil Crandall, when he came in as our director of public health at the time, he worked at the idea of turning these into one large department because of efficiencies that could be achieved. There's this term siloing of, you know, money that comes down a certain pipeline. It can only be spent for this or for that. And yet a lot of the work that is done in all of these different kinds of programs there's a lot of overlap, and the ability to shift funding a little bit, you know, that here's money that's coming down for a public health issue, but we can also apply this sum to social services, or we have some overlap here and there, and there's just ways that a little more flexibility by having it come into one department that has the flexibility to utilize those funds a little bit differently has proven to be a good thing. Humboldt County was the first rural county in California to integrate all of these departments. And since then, we've been the model for doing this for other counties statewide. And in fact, Los Angeles County, you know, by far the biggest county in the state, is just now looking at integration.
Does it make for an easier, more successful determination on the department's output, the results of a year's worth of effort or quarterly or whatever the review period is? Or does it make it more convoluted because you got so many facets that you're trying to determine whether or not it's working? I would think silo by silo would make it a whole lot easier to determine because the magnitude wouldn't be nearly as large.
It's perhaps easier, you know, on the basis of, you know that the money that's coming down this pipeline is only going to stay in this pipeline, only going to do these kinds of things.
For this defined population.
So it's easier to track it, but that doesn't mean that you're actually being more effective. It just means you're...
Right, but you could determine whether or not you were being effective.
Well, the measures of success are separate from the amount of money. And so, and that's one of the things in terms of looking at as a measure of success for the department. It's unfortunate that, you know, a Department of Health and Human Services, any Department of Health and Human Services like this, is saddled with issues that realistically we're probably never going to solve. We're going to manage. We're going to try to make improvements.
Would be a really
mental
easy
health,
one.
Yeah. Social services, homelessness, all of these issues that we look for improvements, and of course we always have the goal of trying to, you know, fix things completely, end homelessness. But we know that's never been done anywhere. You know, homelessness has been a part of the human condition since as long as there have been humans. So we have to look at how we measure success and have a realistic expectation of that.
Are there... Boy, I just went brain dead, and I don't really want to use the word that you guys use. Rubric for determining whether or not something like a health and human services model is working overall, big picture, money in, people being served, ratios of employees to caseworkers to turnover of staff, all those things all put together. Is there something that's there that is a quantifiable black and white that says thumbs up, thumbs down?
Well, I don't think that you're going to find anything that's just a real simple up-down. You're going to find a lot of data that's generated that you can look through to try to see, you know, are you being successful? Where can you be? Where can you improve? And where are you perhaps failing?
Or do you guys have that as a management tool? Because I would bet a good chunk of the community doesn't even realize that the five electeds are the boss of
the department,
rather than it being a separate standalone like the sheriff and the DA and some of the others where their department heads have been around that long and are that well known.
Well, that was one of the recommendations of the study. There were 48 separate recommendations that they came up with. One of them was this department, because of its size and because of the definition for the director, including salary level and stuff, was kind of a separate from the other departments, kind of a co-equal with the CAO rather than being below the CAO. So the structure made that relationship not as clear as it could be or as it ought to be. And so that's something we took action on, I believe, 2 weeks ago. To change the salary level for the incoming Director of Health and Human Services to correct that.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Mark Lovelace.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time is 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mark Lovelace. Mark, the concept you touched on it as part of the structure or the 48 points. Jeez, that's just a bucket load.
It's a lot of
From the survey, we talk about health and human services, but I would think that for most of us, what we see as areas that of emphasis that we would like to have. You mentioned EDD. Okay, yeah, mm-hmm. The employment, great. Shrink them down because there's no need, because there's so many jobs, people can find it on their own. Okay, that one's not going to happen today. Mental health, mm-hmm. Big issue. All you have to do is go downtown Eureka, and it's, mm-hmm. You know, guys talking to themselves as they're crossing against the light in the middle of the highway, not necessarily in the crosswalk. You know that there's a baggage of issues there. Mm-hmm. And then homelessness. Mm-hmm. Not homelessness, as you said, solve the problem, but manage it to a point where we're having the normal impact for a community of our size, rather than what seems to be way out of control. Is homelessness the responsibility, or does it fall under the auspices of DHHS, or is it a side or tangential issue that really isn't something that they should be handling?
Well, it's
or can handle even.
It's a community issue. You can't turf it to one agency and say you're responsible for fixing this. You know, that there's a role for everyone in dealing with this. We all need to own this issue, because we need to recognize that, you know, the homeless population are our population. They're members of our community who for one reason or another have fallen into homelessness. The vast majority, depending on which figures you use, anywhere from 68% to 79%, from figures I've seen, of our homeless population are people who were previously housed here, where they were paying rent, they had a roof over the head, maybe even owned homes, but something that has happened in their lives has caused them to fall into homelessness. And there are so many co-occurring issues, such as, you know, drug and alcohol abuse, mental illness, as you said, jobs, you know, just inability to find employment. This past year, in January, when we had the biannual point in time count, which is a 24-hour period where, you know, various
like a bird
groups
count
try to
yeah.
try to contact as many homeless people as possible, so we can get an idea of how many people are homeless in Humboldt County. And I was out with a crew in some of the greenbelt areas around Arcata, and this one person that we talked to, you know, who had his tent and was camping out there, he was wearing his shirt for the restaurant that he works at, fast food restaurant, that he'd be going to work later that afternoon. So he's working, and he can't afford enough to put a roof over his head. And so, you know, is he representative of the homeless population? No, no one person is representative. You know, there are transients, there are people with mental health issues, there are people who just have fallen on hard times and need a hand out. And so when we look at that, we've got to recognize that there's no one solution here. So you can't just say it's a county issue or a city issue or a health and human services issue or this issue or that issue. Recently, just last week, I had opportunity to be at the ribbon cutting for a project called Arcata Bay Crossing in Arcata. And I bet you couldn't figure that one out.
Yeah. Somebody figured out their marketing.
This is a housing project for, let's see, I think 31 units. And to help people that are transitioning out of homelessness. It's not a shelter. It's not transitional housing. It's permanent supportive housing. Some of the units are. There's 15 of them that the county is providing funding through the Mental Health Services Act for people with serious mental illness. And so these are people who will now have a place to actually live. And because they'll be in a set location, we'll be able to provide services to them and provide well checks and, you know, counseling, and just be able to be on site to help these folks so that they can do better. Then there's also four units that are for people who've been dealing with chronic homelessness who also need, you know, assistance in that way.
So kind of like what Betty Chin is doing.
Yeah.
Learning basic how to live skills.
Yeah, because, you know, chronic homelessness is, you know, you don't recover just by getting a roof over your head. You've got a lot of, you know, relearning.
Is there still a public guardian department in the county?
Like adult protective services, you mean?
I remember back when, but public guardian, that was something that Irv Renner had done before he became, you know, a supervisor. And there was another fellow. I remember that office providing the basic services of, you know, the checks were sent to the public guardian, who then cashed them and made sure that people were on their meds and all those different types of things. And
that
I don't know
system
if that
has changed a lot over the years since then to to get at, to try to prevent abuse so that people aren't, you know, getting welfare checks. You know, welfare as
it's more financial.
Welfare as we knew it is gone. You know, there is no such thing as welfare at this point. There's you know, various kinds of assistance, including SNAP, supplemental nutrition assistance.
Yeah, we got all the names, or at least half of the letters.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Mark Lovelace.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mark Lovelace. Mark, one of the things that was always challenging for me, and I'll go back to Tim McKay and the start of the Environmental Center. You know, he used to be one of our commenters, and he would come out, and we would talk about all kinds of things, as you might imagine. But I had asked him one day about clear cut. I said, what is clear cutting? He says, depends on who you talk to. And that has stuck in my head because for me, I think, for a majority, clear cut implies we come through and there's nothing left standing. But he said, no, that's not the definition. Some mm-hmm. others define it this way and that way. So when we talk about homelessness, mm-hmm. we talk about success, we talk about a lot of these terms that are used, do we have agreement on what the definitions are even before we go out and try to achieve certain goals? You mentioned homeless, okay, and I think everybody is aware that there's the lifestyle option and then some of the other subpopulations. It's a tough definition.
Well, I think the easiest way to think through that, because there are technical definitions to it, is that the term is homelessness. It means, does this person have a home? It doesn't mean just, did you have a roof over your head last night? It means, do you have a home? And so there's people who, sleep warm and dry to some degree because they're sleeping in their car at night, but that's not a home. There's people that, you know, are able to get in line or whatever and, you know, get into a shelter at nights when it's really cold, but that's not a home. And there's camp, talk about campgrounds, but, that's not a home either. The real solution to homelessness, there are as many different types of homelessness as there are people who are homeless. Everyone has their own story, just like every member of our, housed community has their own story about their own life. You can't just lump them all together. But the one thing they have in common is they don't have a reliable place to sleep every night.
What about the term local? Because I've heard that these are local people that are homeless. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I've kind of pushed and chased that one. I've had definitions of born here, mm-hmm. attended high school here, went to college here, been here for 6 months. Okay, I mean, wide a spectrum as you could imagine, but the term is used so loosely. These are local people. Do we know what local is yet?
Well,
or is there
of course, to some people, you're not a local unless you got four generations in the ground, and if there's someone who's got five, you're still not a local. What's meant by local with homelessness is, did this person have a roof over their head? Were they housed? Were they paying rent? Did they have a safe place to live here in Humboldt County before they went homeless?
So that means factor.
Yeah, so that means, is it someone who was already living here when they went homeless, or have they been homeless and are transient who, have come here as a homeless person?
Came into town. Let's go back to the, do we have time? No, we don't. Rats. Another great example shot down in a blaze of glory. Thanks for coming by.
Well, it's a big subject. We're not going to get it all in an hour here. So.
No, imagine that. We've been Talking Shop with Mark Lovelace. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Until then, go out and make it a good day. Hug some windows. See you then.